Welcome back to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is an audio compilation of my videos on YouTube. If you want to find my YouTube channel, all you got to do is go over to YouTube, type in the search bar at the Film Punch, and you should find my channel from there. Not only do you get the video form of the stuff I cover over here on the podcast, but you also get it earlier over on the YouTube channel, so I highly recommend going over there and hitting that subscribe button if you don't mind. But yeah, also this podcast will be ending at episode 200, which I'm shooting to come out around February, around the time that this podcast started back in 2020. So yeah, pretty much going forward, all the content will be over on YouTube, planning on starting a Patreon eventually too, but I'll talk about that when the time comes. As for today's episode, I will be reviewing 2019's Knives Out and 2022's Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. We got the first one and the sequel, which, by the way, Glass Onion is available right now in limited theaters, or select theater, I guess I should say. And yeah, should be able to watch it on Netflix on December 23rd as well. So yeah, if it's available near a theater near you, then maybe go watch it there or wait for it to come on Netflix. But yeah, those are my two reviews for today. Before I get into any of them, I do have to thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so 2019's Knives Out is written and directed by Rian Johnson, who a lot of people know for directing The Last Jedi, which a lot of people hated on him for. But 2 years later, he made Knives Out, and honestly, this is one of my favorite movies of all time. Probably in my top 10. I don't know for sure if I put it in my top 10 when I made that video for my channel, but yeah, I love this movie. I've seen it many times. And for those of you who are not familiar with this movie, it is a modern take on the classic whodunit murder mystery. It stars Daniel Craig as Detective Blanc, and he is basically the American version of Sherlock Holmes in this movie, which is funny because he is actually British in real life. But yeah, he has this southern drawl, which also the accent in here that he has is a little bit weird, and it kind of goes back and forth between sounding mostly authentically southern and then a little bit just like, you know, maybe a British guy trying to do a southern accent. But for the most part, it doesn't take me out of the movie. It doesn't distract me. And I do think he's great in the film. Also in the cast, we have Ana de Armas as Marta Cabrera. We have Jamie Lee Curtis as Linda Drysdale. We have Michael Shannon as Walt Thromby. Don Johnson as Richard Drysdale. We have Christopher Plummer as Harlan Thromby. Toni Collette as Joni Thromby. Chris Evans as Ransom Drysdale. We have Catherine Langford as Meg Thromby, Jaden Martell as Jacob Thromby, and Ricky Lindholm as Donna Thromby. I think that's pretty much the main cast there. Also in there is Lakeith Stanfield as Lieutenant Elliot, which is an actor I very much like in a lot of different movies and shows that he's been in. So cool to see him here, but he doesn't really have a huge role. But yeah, Rian Johnson, I think, directed and wrote this film incredibly. It has great writing, great cast, great acting, great cinematography, great everything all around, honestly. There's very few complaints I have about this movie. However, just to start off, I'll give you a couple. There's some things in this movie, and it's a murder mystery, so there's some aspects of the mystery that don't completely feel like they add up. I'm not going to go into too many specific, or really any specifics, to be honest, because I'm sure a lot of people clicking on this video have watched the movie, but for those of you who haven't, I don't want to give anything away, because this being one of my favorite movies, I don't want to give anything away for something I really want people to go watch, especially since the sequel is coming out, but I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many twists and turns in this film, and there's things that you wouldn't expect from a movie like this, and that's what sets it apart from so many other movies like this. You know, you have films like Death on the Nile and Murder on the Orient Express, and those films, while they have a really great cast, neither of them, you know, did really great box office wise, critically, and personally for me, I don't like either of those films. Death on the Nile, I honestly think, is one of the worst movies of this year, which is interesting because it seems like the sequel is kind of going in a similar route of the of Death on the Nile. So we'll see how that turns out. But again, I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But in this film, you have Detective Blanc, who is, you know, investigating this suicide. Of Harlan Thrombey, played by Christopher Plummer, which I believe that actor has passed away now, so it's rest in peace to Christopher Plummer. Great actor there. But yeah, basically there's a little bit more to it than you might think. And the one main thing I'll say about this movie is that not everything is quite as it seems. That's the biggest thing I will give away when you watch the movie. Maybe that statement in and of itself is giving away too much, but I mean, when it comes to the mystery itself, you find certain things out a little bit earlier on, and even that, I feel like I'm saying too much, but like, it just, again, sets itself apart from so many other movies like this. I mean, immediately when you think of a movie like this, at least for me, I think of Clue, and it just takes such a interesting concept that we've seen so many times and just kind of turns it on its head and says, what if we look at it from this perspective? And that's the thing I love about this movie most, is like subverting your expectations and then making you think you know where it's headed and then subverting your expectations again. This movie does so many things incredibly well, and very few things incredibly wrong, I guess you could say. But yeah, like I said, just some of the kind of, I wouldn't even call them plot holes, but there's just some minor things in there where I'm like, well, if you're telling me this, then why doesn't this happen? And like, how did that one person have enough time to do this in between this? Like, how did they know to do this? Like, this was a spur of the moment thing, so how'd they know to do this and have this prepared, you know, prior, you know, it's stuff like that. And if you've watched the movie, maybe you know what I'm talking about, but it's such a small thing that it, most people probably don't notice it. It's just for me personally, who has watched this movie so many times, where I'm like, and this is just upon my rewatching that I just watched, like finished watching like 5 minutes ago or so. There was something in there where I'm like, huh, I haven't really noticed that before, but like, why though? And there's some things in here that feel like kind of a parody of movies like this. And when it comes to parodies, especially for me, I'm kind of dumb sometimes, so I don't always know when there's supposed to be a parody of something. It's sometimes a little bit hard for me to tell when, maybe it's just because I haven't seen like a bunch of films in a particular, you know, genre or subgenre, so I don't get the niche reference. But like, there's some parodies that I just don't necessarily get a whole lot out of. But this, I mean, I wouldn't say this is a parody by any means. This movie stands on its own. I would say the character of Detective Blanc, played by Daniel Craig, his character is just crazy. He is, I don't even know how to describe him, but the whole time he's talking about the donut and the hole in the center of the donut and shit like that, and the hole in the center of the hole, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about? But that's kind of what makes his character fun, is like, most of the time you don't know what the hell he's talking about, but in his head he knows what the hell he's talking about, and that's kind of the fun part of it. Some people might look at that as lazy writing, like, you're just being weird for the sake of weird. I'm like, no, that's just how his brain works, and I love it, because at the end of the day, he solves the mystery. I mean, does he not? He might have weird tactics, but they work. So his character, he's really fun. But the main character I would definitely say of this movie is Ana de Armas, who plays Marta Cabrera. Very great character there. She's the nurse to Harlan Thrombey. Really the only friend that he can really talk to. She's the only sane person in that household that he lives in with all his family. Literally everybody in the family is just the worst person you've ever met. There's a couple in there where you're like, maybe they're not too bad, but for the most part, they're all a-holes, and they all, you know, had a lot of shit handed to them and don't like it when anybody tells them no. But yeah, you have all these characters in here, and from the very beginning, you're like, any of these people could have done it. And the whole thing about it is, like, Harlan, you know, it seems like he committed suicide, and if that's the case, why is the detective there? You know, why are there cops that, I mean, the cops make sense for the most part, but the detective there is like, why are they running a full investigation if it's a suicide? But I guess maybe in the real world, I guess they actually do have to do that and make sure it's not like, you know, a cover up or anything like that. But yeah, there's just a couple small inconsistencies that might not even be inconsistencies to me, but, you know, there's so many different things in this movie that piece together and come together by the end, and you're like, oh my god, this makes sense now, and you're like, oh my god, I can't believe I didn't think of that before. Like, I mean, that's the basis of any good murder mystery, is having all these pieces come together and make it feel earned, and this movie does that incredibly. So, I mean, if you're into murder mysteries, if you're into mysteries at all, this is the movie for you. If you're not, this might even still be the movie for you. I don't know. It might subvert your expectations and do, like, if you're not a fan of murder mysteries or mysteries in general, this might turn you around a little bit on it. So maybe worth watching. I would consider it. But yeah, let me see if I have any other notes here. I don't think I do. Let me see here. The only real complaint I have is, like, maybe it's just a little bit longer than it needs to be. Just a tad bit longer. I think if they probably took out, like, 5 minutes even, it would feel a little bit more tight. But overall, I mean, that's a really small complaint. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, obviously there is a sequel to Knives Out coming to Netflix. Actually, the day this video is being posted is when it comes out. My review should come out tomorrow, as the day of this is posted. Sorry, it's like past 2 a.m. right now. I'm a little loopy. But as the day this is posted, should come out tomorrow, my review for the sequel for Knives Out, Glass Onion, which does have a limited release in theaters. Not going to be watching it there, just going to watch it on Netflix. But it will be released on Netflix and theaters in the same day, which is November 23rd, Wednesday. So, yeah, stay tuned for that review. But I'm very excited for that sequel. I'm a little bit nervous for it. And like I said before, I think I said this before, but it seems to follow kind of something similar that Death on the Nile did, which is a movie in the same genre that came out earlier this year. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, Netflix bought the rights to this franchise, and I believe along with Glass Onion, the sequel to Knives Out that I'll be reviewing tomorrow, there's going to be 2 to 3 more Knives Out movies coming to Netflix. I don't know if Rian Johnson will be attached to all of them, but we shall see. Very, very excited, but also hesitant going into the sequel, because Knives Out being one of my favorite movies of all time, there's a lot of room for the sequel to very much disappoint me. So I'm going to go in with low to medium expectations. Hopefully it doesn't disappoint. But yeah, stay tuned for that review. But have you seen Knives Out 2019? What did you think? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely love this movie. One of my favorites of all time, as I said before. Probably in my top 10. And have you not seen Knives Out? Are you going to plan on watching it before the sequel? Why or why not? Honestly, even if you say no, please just consider watching this movie. I've recommended it to so many people. It's one of my favorites. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of stuff. Even if you hear some, even if you like map out some things, if you figure out some things, you're still having fun throughout it, and there's still surprises to be had, even if you map out certain things. So, like, I mean, it's worth your time, for sure. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, I have a new ranking system when it comes to reviewing movies and TV shows and whatnot. Usually I would just review something and rank it 1 out of 10, but now I have a new system here, and if you haven't watched the past, like, 5 videos or so, then you'll, you know, you haven't actually seen me go through this this ranking system. But if you have, this isn't anything new for you. So you can really leave if you want, but then you won't hear where I rank this movie. But yeah, let me go through it as quickly as possible. I'm going to go through the different tiers and the descriptions. Starting with the best, Leave Your House Immediately. And if it's a movie that's been out for years or something on streaming, or if it's a TV show, kind of has the same effect. Turn on your TV immediately, watch it immediately. This is a very rare tier of me to use, so if I use it, you'll know I mean it. Tier below that is Weekend Plans. Watch opening weekend or watch the first weekend it's out. When it comes to, like, a movie that's been out for a while, you know, just basically get around to it when you get a chance. Like, you know, make it the next movie you watch, you know? That's the kind of thing I'm going for there. But yeah, essentially watch it the first weekend it's out, if it's anything new. Tier below that is Avoid the Crowds. Wait a couple weeks to watch it in the theater and go on a weekday if you can. Go when the theater might be empty, because then you don't have to worry about assholes being really loud with their popcorn or whatever it might be. But yeah, when it's like a movie on streaming or anything like that, add it to your list. Wait a couple weeks. Nothing urgent. Tier below that, rent it, pay to watch it at home. So, you know, get it on VOD, wherever, Redbox, do that kind of stuff. Tier below that, stream it. If it appears on a streaming service you already own, then consider checking it out. Add it to your list. But if it's on a streaming service you don't own, then don't make it a priority to buy that streaming service just to watch it. But yeah, tier below that is last week's Leftovers. And you'll notice as the tiers get worse, the crazier they get. But yeah, last week's Leftovers description I have here is, might not be completely horrible, but you might regret it later. It's the kind of movie you pop into the DVD player and you're like, all right, I heard this movie's shitty, but, you know, it might be funny to watch. And then by the time you finish it, you're like, well, that was about an hour and 45 minutes just wasted. But it's not as bad as it could be, you know? It's not going to kill you. Tier below that is Throw It in the Trash. Those Leftovers have turned. This is the kind of movie that you get done watching and you're like, wow, I think the rest of my day might be ruined, possibly into the next day. But yeah, tier below that is Throw It in the Trash and Set It on Fire. This is when it, like, ruins your week or, like, your whole month, or, like, you know, it ruins relationships with your family. But yeah, it's pretty much as bad as it gets. But yeah, there's even a tier below that. One more tier. And this is as bad as it gets, probably just as rare as the Leave Your House Immediately tier, if not more, and that is the Chernobyl level disaster. And my description for that is, how did this get made? If this is your favorite movie or show, seek medical attention immediately. So there's my new ranking system. I don't know how concrete it's going to be. I don't know if I'm going to change things over time, but for now, this is what it's going to be, and I'll be kind of telling you guys about this this ranking system over the next few videos or so. We'll see how many more videos I mention this in, because it does add a lot to runtime in terms of my videos. But in terms of Knives Out 2019, obviously it's already been out for a while, so you could either pay to watch it on VOD or find it on a streaming service. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix. I would imagine it would be, but I watch it personally on Vudu, which is where I own it. But yeah, I would say in terms of the ranking, I'm not going to give it a leave your house immediately, even though it is one of my favorite movies of all time. Is it one of the best movies ever created? I don't think so, but it is a really fun movie to watch and one of my favorites, and it's something I'd recommend to a lot of people. So I would go ahead and give it a weekend plans. So if you're going to watch the sequel, I'd recommend watching this one first. Even if it doesn't have a whole lot of importance to the sequel. So yeah, maybe over the weekend you're like, hey, I want to go check out that, or I want to go watch that Glass Onion movie in the theater. Or you're like, oh, I want to go watch Glass Onion on Netflix. Watch Knives Out first. Do a double feature. Watch it over the weekend. It'll be fun. But yeah, that's where I'd rank Knives Out 2019. And I'd love to know where you guys would rank it as well. Comment down below. But thank you all for watching. Leave a like on the video. Subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I will see you in the next one. Alright, so 2022's Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, is written and directed by Rian Johnson, who wrote and directed the 2019 Knives Out film. And if you want to see my review for that, that is on the channel. It came out a few days ago. But yeah, it brings back Daniel Craig as Detective Blanc. And in this film, he gets invited to a mansion on a remote island for a murder mystery party. And he gets invited by Miles Braun, played by Edward Norton. And basically, Edward Norton's character in here, he's a tech CEO with a massive ego and a never-ending wallet, from what it seems like. Very rich guy, has a lot of crazy items in his house that are probably worth, well, honestly, priceless, let's be honest. But yeah, I mean, he has some crazy shit in there. But let me see here. Along with Blanc, a slew of influencers, politicians, businessmen, and a bunch of other rich, you know, egomaniacs get invited to the island as well. All of them are friends, colleagues, you know, co-workers of Miles Braun. And yeah, they're just all around terrible people, all of them. Like, if you thought the people in the first Knives Out movie were bad, these people are like those people times 10. And honestly, this whole movie is Knives Out 2019 times 10. It does fall into a case of sequelitis where they try to take the first movie and times it by a million and make it on such a bigger scale and have, you know, CGI in there when they really maybe don't need it at times. I mean, there's some parts in here where it's like, yeah, you kind of need CGI, I guess. But, you know, it has a much bigger scale, probably a much bigger budget as well. So they went crazy with this one for sure. And sometimes going crazy is not always a bad thing. And most of the time, it usually is just too much. At times, this film can be a little bit too much. It can be a little overly convoluted. But at other times, it can be really, really charming, really funny, you know, really clever. There's moments in here where you're like, Rian Johnson, really? Why did you do this? Like, you probably needed to rework this. You know, this doesn't quite make sense. You're being a little overly convoluted. You're not making sense here in one part or another. And then there's other times where you're like, oh my god, Rian Johnson's a genius. A lot of people hate on this guy because of The Last Jedi. I understand that. That movie is terrible. But, you know, with 2019's Knives Out, I think he's shown that he can make a really good movie. Because, again, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it's a fantastic film. It's a modern take on the classic whodunit murder mystery. And with this one, you know, I don't know how quite to describe this. I mean, if anything, this movie is more like Clue than the first one, but not completely. I mean, it's not just like people dying left and right. That's not what this movie is. And that's not what the first movie is. But a lot of times these movies, like the first one especially, gets compared to Clue and you know, stuff like that. So this movie, I think, I mean, it has elements of that. You know, there's parts in here where the lights turn out and it's like, oh, well, where's this item and where's this person and who's dead in this room and all that kind of stuff. You know, it has elements of that more so than the first one, which I appreciate because I am a fan. You know, a lot of people, especially kids nowadays, like, you know, people younger than me, probably don't know that there's actually a Clue movie, but there is. And it's a very interesting watch for sure, especially by the end of the film. Maybe I'll review that at some point. But yeah, I mean, it starts off really quick. You get introduced to all these characters that I'll talk about in a second. All this new cast of characters, which in the first movie you had people like Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Johnson, Michael Shannon, all that kind of stuff. In this movie, you have all these other huge named actors that people really go to the movies for. People turn on movies to see these actors. I think having these types of actors in these types of movies, especially on Netflix, is going to make these types of movies do better. And as long as the movies are good, I'm fine with that. But you have films like Death on the Nile and Murder on the Orient Express that have a really great cast. I mean, there's plenty of movies out there that can be used as an example, but movies that have a great cast but just are not good, they completely miss the mark. And that's how I feel about those Death on the Nile and Murder on the Orient Express films. I do not like those movies, but I do like mysteries. And, you know, they can never get right what Knives Out could. And I think this movie is kind of another example of them doing something right that franchise couldn't do. You know, there are some elements of Death on the Nile, some slight elements of Death on the Nile in this movie. Maybe not even slight. There are a lot of parallels that I can think of right now that I won't say just because a lot of people probably haven't had the chance to watch this movie yet. But there's a lot of parallels that I can think of from that movie to this one. And in a way, I wouldn't really compare Knives Out 1 to Murder on the Orient Express. That one isn't very similar to that. But yeah, I mean, like, in a way, these almost feel like not necessarily parodies, but they feel like they're poking fun at other films that try to do what they're doing and just cannot get right. You know, they're almost making fun of them at times and being like, hey, stupid, look at this. You tried to do this. Well, we can do it better. So for the most part, this movie does have a lot of great writing to it. My main thing in here is that, yeah, it just gets overly convoluted. I think the runtime is a lot longer than it needs to be. There are certain reveals that I feel like should have happened a little bit sooner in the film, similar to how it happened in the first one. You know, reveal it quick or quick-ish so the rest of the movie has time to breathe. I don't know, even with the 2-hour and 10-minute runtime here, there were elements of this and there were people in here that I feel like just didn't get their moment to shine. And, I mean, that's kind of the case in the 2019 film. I feel like there were certain characters, particular characters in there that were just kind of pushed to the side, but, not as much as this movie does. I wouldn't say this movie does a whole lot, but, you know, not every real character really gets their moment. They don't really get a defining, not all of them really get a defining character trait, which sucks because you have some really good actors in here. But yeah, let me talk about those actors real quick. Obviously, like I said before, Daniel Craig as Detective Blanc. We have Edward Norton as Miles Braun, the CEO tech guy that I mentioned before. We have Kate Hudson as Birdie J, which, you know, she's a model, much like real life. And we also have Dave Bautista as Duke Cody. He's a bit of a Twitch streamer, I believe. Cool to see Dave Bautista in two things in one day. I'm recording this on the same day I watched the Guardians holiday special, so that's fun. We also have Janelle Monáe as Andy Brand, which honestly I would say her character, her as an actress, she was one of the biggest standouts in this movie for me. We also have Catherine Hahn as Claire DiBella. Yeah, I believe, I'm not sure which state she's the governor for, but she is a governor. So that's the politician that I was mentioning there. We have Leslie Odom Jr. as Lionel Toussaint, very great actor there. And then one of them, there's actually two here that I feel like didn't really get a whole lot to do, and that is Jessica Henwick as Peg and Madeline Klein as Whiskey. I would say Whiskey probably got a little bit more to do than Peg. You know, Madeline Klein isn't really an actress I'm familiar with. I think she's on Outer Banks, I'm not completely sure. But Jessica Henwick is somebody that I've seen in quite a few films over the last couple of years, and I've really liked her. So the fact that she's just kind of pushed to the side is a little disappointing. Let me see. I don't think there's any other huge cast members that I need to mention. There are a few people that are just cameos, big actors. Do not look up the cast if you haven't seen this film yet, because those surprises will surprise you. And I'm lucky that I kind of forgot about it, because usually I write down the whole cast, or at least as much of it that I think is necessary, before I do my reviews, so I can just read them. But yeah, good thing I forgot about who was in the movie, because when they popped up, I was like, oh my God, what? Like, what are they doing in here? It's kind of like Bullet Train, if you watch that movie. Like, there's a few cameos in there from big actors where you're just like, wait, what? They're in this movie? So that's fun. I mean, they never really play a big role, but it's hilarious when they do show up. Let me see here. One of the problems with this movie also is that there aren't many particular characters that you ever get attached to, like, emotionally. Like, there's never any characters you really sympathize with. There are a couple that I won't mention, just, you know, for spoiler sake. But for the most part, I mean, most of these people do suck. And I feel like I probably wrote that before the movie was finished. But up until a certain point, you just don't really give a shit about any of the characters. And then it kind of twists on you and it changes and you're like, oh, okay, now I care about this character I didn't know I should care about. But I mean, like, certain things get revealed and I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I like the reveal. I think it's cool, but, like, I don't know. It took so long to get there. It took about, like, half an hour to get to this point. And I feel like it shouldn't have taken that long to get there. I feel like the runtime should have been shorter. I feel like they should have gotten through things a little bit quicker, and probably taken out some aspects of it, because this movie very much is like an onion. There's a lot of layers to it, but, you know, are there too many layers to this movie? I think there might be at times. I think there's just a little too much going on, and I feel like there's ideas in this movie they probably could have spread out, you know, through two movies. Even though it might not be the same cast in both movies, obviously, because each movie is like a different story. You know, it's ideas you could spread out throughout different films. And I don't know, it just kind of feels like they blew their load in this one movie. So it makes you wonder, like, if this movie is Knives Out 2019 times like 10, obviously the third one has to be like this one times like 20. So I'm like, but how are you going to do that without making it feel more convoluted than this one felt? I mean, could they go back to basics? That's the thing with this movie. They don't keep it very simple. There's a lot of layers to this, like an onion, and it makes sense why they call it that. But again, like, I just think there's a little bit too much going on in this movie at times. But that's not to say it's a bad movie. Will it end up on my top 10 best of this year? I don't quite think so, but it is a movie I had a lot of fun with. There is quite a bit of humor in there that does land, especially with the character of Blanc. There's some surprisingly humorous moments with him. But I will say, towards the beginning, you know, the pandemic, you know, it takes place in 2020 when the pandemic is going on. And the pandemic plays a small role in the beginning of the film. And you see Daniel Craig's character kind of just, like, down on his luck because he doesn't really have a case to work on since, you know, it's the pandemic. He doesn't really have anything to keep his brain occupied. And from that point, pretty much until, like, maybe the half an hour point of the film, he's just a bit of a weird character. He's just a little too kooky, a little too goofy. You know, they're doing a little bit of a Thor thing, but there's certain things revealed in there where it's like, well, was that just an act? I don't know. Hopefully I'm not spoiling anything huge, but, like, I don't know. There's a lot of elements to this movie. So even if you think you know who the killer is, and you might know who the killer is, there's just still so much to it. And I guess who the killer is. I'm not going to say who it is, obviously. I guessed who it is, though, pretty much early on, probably not even the first, like, 20 minutes. I was like, yeah, I think this is the person who it's going to be. And it turned out to be the person I thought it was going to be. But the reveal was still satisfying, which is a really difficult thing to do. If you already know who the killer is, yet having a satisfying reveal, that's not easy, especially for me. I'm very critical of stuff like that. Like, if I know who the killer is, before the ending of the film, and I think it's obvious. Most of the time, I'm going to hate it, but the way they went about it by the climax of the film, I was impressed. I was loving the writing of it and having a lot of fun still. So, I mean, overall, again, not as good as the first one. One of my favorite movies of all time. I don't think this one could have come half as close, but I still think this is a good movie to watch. I recommend watching it on streaming. Do you need to rush to the movie theater to watch this? I don't necessarily think so. I think you should be fine waiting about a month until it pops up on Netflix to watch it there. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, I have a new ranking system for movies. And actually, I have an even newer ranking system for movies. If you've been keeping up with my past few videos or so, I've been using this new ranking system, but I just changed it last night to kind of, I don't know, feel a little bit more compact, I guess. I also have a streaming service movie/show ranking system, which I used in my Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special review. But for this one, I'm just using the regular movie ranking system. And you're probably asking, do you have a TV movie ranking system? No, I do not, because most of the TV I watch is on streaming services anyways. So, but yeah, let me run through this ranking system real quick. At the top, we have top 10 contender. You know, could be the top 10 for the year or possibly of all time, but usually just for the year. Tier below that, we have weekend plans, watch opening weekend or as soon as possible. Tier below that, we have avoid the crowds. Watch in theaters, but wait a week or two for the crowds to die down. Tier below that is Tuesday discount. Tier below that is rent it. Tier below that is stream it. Tier below that is skip it. You get the idea. But Tuesday discount, you know, at least at the theater I go to on Tuesdays, they have like discounted tickets. So go watch it at a discounted price. You know, rent it, pay to watch it at home, stream it, watch it on streaming service, skip it. You know, you get the idea there. Since this is going to be a movie that's going to be on a streaming service soon, I am going to do my ranking for that as well. But in terms of a movie that's in theaters, I would say if you have the time to do it, avoid the crowds, wait to watch it in theaters, wait maybe a week or two for the crowds to die down, and then check it out. I think it's worth watching, but is it like the best movie I've seen all year? Maybe not. I had a lot of fun with it. There were times where I thought it was the best movie I've seen all year, or one of the best at least, but then there's other things that happen in here where I'm just like, I don't know if I can really say that for sure. So maybe upon one more watch, maybe when it comes out on Netflix, I'll watch it one more time and see how I truly feel about it and see if it'll make it on that list. But one thing I will say for sure is it's not ending up on my top 10 worst of the year. So yeah, there you go. And then for my streaming service show/movie ranking system, movie in this case, at the top of the list, we have premium subscription, makes your subscription seem like a bargain. Tier below that, standard subscription, perfect for a streaming service. Tier below that, basic subscription, perfectly adequate, but not what you're paying for. Tier below that, basic subscription with ads, the type of content, or the type of mediocre content that streaming services shell out on the reg. Tier below that, we got free trial, worth watching. If it's free, highly recommend using as background noise. Tier below that, last tier, is cancel your subscription. So bad you should cancel your subscription. Also consider asking for a refund. This film is definitely not that bad. Again, at times I was thinking, is this a premium subscription? But honestly, at the end of the day, I think I have to put this... Ooh, it kind of hurts to say this. Excuse me. I've been talking for a little too long. My throat hurts. But I have to put this in standard subscription just because there are times when this movie is just overly convoluted. There are a lot of things that I do love about this movie, but equally, there's a lot of things that I don't like. So, yeah, I think standard subscription for the streaming ranking and avoid the crowds for the film ranking, if you're willing to watch in the theaters, that is. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about this movie. It has a great cast, and has really great writing and directing as well. There's just elements in here where I think, one, the film could have been cut down. You know, the runtime of the film should have been cut down. There are one too many elements in this movie. There's one too many things going on. There are characters that are a little too underdeveloped. But overall, there are a lot of great moments in this movie. There's a lot of fun to be had. So yeah, I'd recommend it for sure. But yeah, there's my review for 2022's Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Did you watch it in the theaters? What did you think? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely very, very much enjoyed it. But there are just things that kind of bring it down for me. Please do not spoil anything down in the comments below. Don't be that person. Don't be a dick. Because there's plenty of people that are going to have to wait until it comes out on Netflix. And speaking of which, are you going to watch it when it comes out on Netflix? Why or why not? I would love to know. Yeah, really just anything you want to comment in general. I'd love to hear from you. I always comment back, almost always, depending on what you say. But yeah, thank you all for watching. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And I will see you in the next one. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I'm on YouTube at The Film Punch. Just go into the search bar on YouTube, type that in. Should be able to find my channel from there. Facebook and Instagram, same handle there, at The Film Punch. I'm more active on Instagram than Facebook, so I'd recommend following me over on Instagram rather than Facebook. But if you want to do both or either or, that's fine too. But yeah, definitely go check out that YouTube channel, subscribe if you don't mind. next review, what will that be? I think I might lump two things into one. I have a MCU Phase 4 ranking that I want to do. But I also have a review for Wednesday Season 1 on Netflix. So I'll probably just lump those two together in the same episode. I don't really think there's a huge need to make those stand on their own, I guess. But yeah, if you can't tell right now, I don't feel good. My throat hurts. I've been like clearing my throat a lot. I've been coughing a lot. I don't have COVID as far as I know. I haven't tested, but I don't know. It's probably just the time of year. Weather's really been going back and forth a lot. Like yesterday was in the 30s. There's no snow on the ground at the moment, but it's supposed to snow soon. We already have had a few very snowy days. So yeah, the weather really sucks. It's currently raining. Hopefully that doesn't turn into ice at any point. But yeah, usually the end of the episode is when I like to ramble about whatever I want to do. So yeah, car is still not working. Fortunately, I was able to go with somebody to the movies to go see The Glass Onion. Excuse me. As you can tell, I'm not feeling great right now. But yeah, fortunately, I was able to go to the movies to see that at least. I still haven't seen Strange World or Devotion. I'm at least going to watch Strange World. I don't know about Devotion. I don't know. I haven't really heard anybody talking about either movie, to be honest. But I'm curious about both. But if anything, I'm definitely going to review Strange World if I don't get around to Devotion. Still having some car issues, so I'm hoping those issues will be solved by next week so I can go see Violent Night with David Harbour as Santa Claus, which I'm very excited for. I do have my tickets for that already, but we'll see if I end up actually being able to go. I hope so. Yeah, this weekend has really sucked in terms of trying to like really do anything. So yeah, we'll see what the issue with the car is, getting it looked at tomorrow. So hopefully it's just a dead battery like I think it is, but we shall see. I'll try to keep you guys posted. But yeah, once again, thank you all for listening. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at The Film Punch. I'll see you in the next episode. Should be talking about my MCU Phase 4 ranking as well as my review for Season 1 of Wednesday on Netflix. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you in the next one.